Hey, what's up, everybody? Doug Petrie here with Fresh Talk Sports. Sorry we missed you last week. Just got a little bit busy with work. Caught up in football games, kids' activities, blah, 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 the usual. But here we are. We're back. It is Thursday, November 30th, the last day of November, and I am hyped. I'm hyped, folks, because in a couple days, I'll be going to Vegas. Going to the motherland for a few days to celebrate my birthday. Here we go. So let's get started. We've got, if you haven't heard by now, Corey Perry has been released, had his contract terminated, whatever you want to call it, from the Blackhawks. So here's a little bit of the timeline on that. Last Wednesday, he was pulled before their game in Columbus. On Friday, the team announced that he was going to be taking a leave indefinitely to deal with some personal matters. By Saturday, he was announced he was suspended. And it's kind of when the rumors started, when the rumor is that Corey Perry nailed Connor Bedard's mom on their yearly mom's trip, which was last week when the Blackhawks were on the road. I don't know how much truth there is or isn't to that. A few people have come out and said that it has something to do with a reporter for the Blackhawks. I forget her name. I think it's actually Chris Chelios' daughter. So I don't know quite what happened there. But then by Monday, the team was putting him on waivers with the purpose of releasing him from his contract. So on Monday, the team issued a media statement saying that, you know, Corey Perry was released and it had nothing to do with any teammates or anybody involved, any family of teammates or anything like that. So essentially saying like, no, it's not true. He didn't nail Connor Bedard's mom. But you know, I mean, I'm sure the truth will eventually come out, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past the Blackhawks to cover up a scandal. So I don't know. We'll see. Next we got some golf action. Big news this week. This is the Hero World Challenge, which is in the Bahamas. This event, once upon a time, many years ago, used to be in California at Sherwood Golf and Country Club. It was a fantastic event there. Great golf course. But it's now since moved, and it's a 16-player field, but one of the guys is going to draw a lot more attention than anybody else, and that is Tiger Woods is back. He is golfing again. It's his first tournament back. Also coming back is Will Zalatoris. It's his first event back since he pulled out of the Masters with an injury. But Tiger's back. Tiger says he's going to try and play one tournament a month. That's the goal for this season, which that would be awesome if he could do. And the thing about Tiger is that, I forget when he said it, but it was years ago when he was going through the same, coming off of surgery. And Tiger said, you know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't feel like I could win. And Tiger is so competitive, he's not going to play just for the sake of playing. I don't believe that this is just a warm-up event for the PNC, which is in another couple weeks. I think he'll be playing with Charlie in that. And don't think he's just using this as a warm-up. Tiger's so competitive, he doesn't want to play just to come DFL. So Tiger's only going to play if he really feels like he can win. So here he is. And if he can do that for one tournament a month, It'll be unreal for the game of golf, because regardless of, you know, where he finishes, he's Tiger Woods, and the guy still moves the needle. I don't think he played in any events this year, or he might have tried to play an event this year and pulled out. And he was still second in the tour's little PIP program. So, but yeah, huge news. Huge news that Tiger's back. Unreal. There's a rumor that John Rahm has an offer to join LIV Golf for $600 million. I really hope, I'm sure that's probably true. I really hope that Rahm doesn't do it, and I don't think he will, just given his prior stance on LIV. He's been kind of definitely not one of the champions, but when asked about it, he's not beating around the bush, or he's not deflecting the questions. Like, I don't agree with it. So hopefully Rahm doesn't do it. I don't think he will, if nothing else for the Ryder Cup. I feel like coming off of a Ryder Cup win this year and, you know, not having a few guys at the Ryder Cup, I feel like that kind of put into focus, you know, how important it is to, or what sort of obstacles you face when you go to LIV. Now, maybe that'll change. Nobody knows yet what any of the framework for this new PGA LIV, you know, partnership is going to look like. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Next, we're going to get into a little bit of NHL action. Other big news for NHL this week is Patrick Kane signing a one-year deal with the Red Wings. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Patrick Kane coming off of like hip resurfacing surgery. So not a minor surgery, but also the track record recently of guys that have had that surgery is not very good as far as games played once they return. I think I saw a stat the other day that the most that anybody has played coming back of hip surgery of like similar age as Patrick Kane is like 42 games. So it's not even a guarantee that he's going to finish out the season. I hope he does. I hope he's going to come back and, you know, return to form, because I feel like that's going to be, could be really exciting to watch on that Detroit Red Wings team, which has a lot of young talent. So I hope Kane comes back and can make an impact. The nice part for him is that he won't be expected to shoulder the load so much as he did in Chicago. It'll be a similar situation as when he went to the Rangers, where he's just one of the pieces, but he's not the guy driving the bus. And granted, Detroit doesn't have as many pieces that the Rangers did when Kane was there. But I feel like also, too, it's going to help having a lot of younger guys on the team and in the room to, you know, help keep them motivated, push them, because they're going to be, you know, they're going to be going, and he's going to have to be going to keep up. Next, I want to talk a little about Thatcher Demko. I don't want to talk about the Canucks. Canucks are still obviously playing well, and I've spent a couple now talking about the Canucks, and I love the Canucks, but I want to highlight Thatcher Demko a little bit, because he kind of flies under the radar in Vancouver with how awesome a start that, like, Pettersson, Hughes, and Miller are all having. Even Hronek and Besser, too. Don't forget about Besser leading the league in scoring now. But Demko kind of gets lost in the shuffle. I would say he's probably the front runner for the Vezina. If the tonight will mark the 25th game, so it's the quarter. It's, you know, just a little bit over a quarter season. Yeah, I feel like Demko's probably the front runner for the Vezina right now. He's 11-5. He has a 2.1 goals against, which is third amongst any goalie that's played at least 10 games. He has a 928 save percentage, which is tied for second in that same span, and two shutouts. So while a lot of the focus is obviously going to go to Pettersson, Miller, and Hughes, Demko deserves a lot of the credit too for how Vancouver's playing. Next, I want to talk about Artemi Panarin. There's another guy that playing New York. New York's off to a very, very good start. And Artemi Panarin, he could be making a strong case for the Hart Trophy. He's 30 points in 20 games. He has 1 point in at least 17 of those 20 games. And he has 2 points in 11 out of 20 games. And then don't forget, he started the season on a 15-game point streak, which is the longest in Rangers franchise history. So that's pretty crazy for him. And one of the things, Panarin has sort of been known over the years as being more of a playmaker than, you know, than sort of a scorer. But this season so far, like, he's averaging just under, he's shooting the puck a lot more than he has. He's averaging 3.95 shots per game. He's on pace for 323 shots this season, which would blow his previous career high out of the water. His previous career high is 281, and that was back in the 17-18 season when he played with Columbus. So I feel like if Panarin keeps shooting the puck, he could be onto something really special here. And yes, I'll even give a quick shout out to Connor McDavid, who seems to be back to Connor McDavid things, and he's turned his game around a lot. So good to see. Not so much for the Oilers, but for him. Okay, let's talk a little sports bets here. Thursday night game tonight. After that fucking brutal Monday night game, which I only sat through about the last half of, it was 12-10 Bears. I said to my wife at one point, as we were watching, like, this is going to be a race to 10. And, you know, she said, like, it might be 12, like, the Bears might win with 4 field goals. And sure enough, they 12-10. Yeah, tonight's game is the Seahawks and Cowboys. This is not my favorite game because I dislike both teams. If I had to cheer for a team, I'd probably cheer for injuries, I'm going to be honest. But I would really enjoy seeing the Seahawks get absolutely spanked tonight. And I think that's going to happen because the Cowboys have a very good defense. We all know this, but they have a very good defense at home. At home, they have the best pass rush defense in the league. And they're fourth in rushing yards per carry against at home. Currently, the line is -9.5 for the Cowboys, which I'm going to take that all day. Cowboys -9.5 and under 47.5 points. That is at +264. $10 pays $37.75 on that guy. And then we got a little same game parlay for tonight. I'm going to go Geno Smith for under 232.5 passing yards. Tony Pollard for 50 rushing yards. CeeDee Lamb for 75 receiving yards. Geno Smith for on the over 0.5 interceptions. And Dak for 2 scores. And that'll hammer at +750. $5 pays $48.75. That's a nice little turnaround if that cashes out. Quick look ahead to wrap up. Quick look ahead this week. I've got the Saints plus four. Sorry, I didn't even put the teams down for this. I got the Saints plus four against the Lions. I got the Titans money line at home against the Colts. I feel like Derrick Henry's going to have a big game, and no Jonathan Taylor for the Colts there. And I like the Eagles at plus three over the 49ers. I feel like that game could go kind of similar to the way the Bills and Eagles game did this past week, just with less scoring. Yeah. So that three-teamer is plus 613. $5 pays $38.69. Had a couple bad beats on Dougie's Dagger last week. I think I missed out on the one by a yard rushing. That hurt. Anyways, this week we're going to go for a three-legger. Nice and tidy. We got Tyreek Hill for 75 receiving yards. We're going to go Russell Wilson for 25 rushing yards. And in the Cardinals-Steelers game, we're going to over 2.5 field goals. That's at plus 233. And I'm going to throw 10 on that for 33.39 payout. There we go. That's it for this week. Like I said, going to Vegas, going to catch the Golden Knights game on Saturday. That's going to be awesome. And then probably catch some games in the sports book. Might do some live betting. Who knows? This weekend, my team, we got the Chargers and Patriots. It's funny, one of my buddies, Psycho, Sykesy, he's coming on the trip, and he's a Patriots fan. And, of course, I'm a Chargers fan, so Chargers and Patriots. How's this for lining up? Chargers and Patriots. The week we're in Vegas. Wow, unbelievable. I think the Chargers are minus six in that one. If you wanted to throw Mac Jones for an interception, that would be awesome. If there was any way to throw a parlay of Mac Jones playing under 2.5 quarters, I would take the under on that all the live long day. Patriots have a reasonable defense and a reasonable running game. The Chargers' kryptonite is running the ball. Although, let's be honest, this season with the Chargers' defense, their kryptonite is just about everything. So, I feel like the Chargers are going to hammer, but it scares me. Not enough to bet. I'm gonna stay away from that one because it scares me. Whenever I bet with my team, bad things happen, and they're not very good right now. If the Chargers lose this game, mark my words, if the Chargers lose this game, Brandon Staley will not have a job come Monday afternoon. You can take that to the bank. And then Erica's team, the Steelers, the worst 7-4 team in the history of football. Steelers and Cardinals. Steelers at home. Steelers should win that game. If I had to bet it, I would take the Cardinals at plus 7.5. Because the Steelers, like I've said before, the Steelers find a way to beat teams or win games that they shouldn't, and they lose games they should win. This is a game they should win, so I feel like they're probably going to lay an egg. Anyways, that's all the time we got for this week. Catch me next week as I recover from the Vegas trip, and I'll try to stay out of trouble. Cheers. Thanks, everybody. As always, keep your head up and your stick on the ice.